Hello, friends. Thanks for joining us. We here at Fireside Mystery Theater are excited to be ringing in the new year with a healthy dose of fear and fright. The following radio play, The Executor of the Will, is the final segment of our Holiday Haunts episodes. It was recorded live at the Bickford Theater at the Morris Museum in Morristown, New Jersey, on Sunday, December 4th, 2016. Why do so many of us feel so unsettled in the presence of things that have the ability to imitate us? Robotics professor Masahiro Mori established the concept of the uncanny valley, which hypothesizes that when something comes a bit too close to resembling the way we look and move, it will trigger feelings of revulsion. And then there's the even deeper fear that these things will not only mimic our physicality, but also the way we think. Remember, it was not long ago when Stephen Hawking warned us that the development of full artificial intelligence could spell the end of the human race. Well, let's try to just worry about one thing at a time, why don't we? In the meantime, the following radio play, The Executor of the Will, by Silben Sandovar, will provide enough unease to keep you firmly occupied.
Miss Riley? Miss Riley? Hello?
Hello.
Oh, you nearly startled me there. I was confused. Rather, I am confused, Miss Riley.
Confused? Mr.
Fortis. Glenn Fortis.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Fortis. I am Irene Bell Riley.
Happy holidays, by the way, Miss Riley.
Well, happy holidays to you, too.
Miss Riley, can you tell me something? Who just let me into your apartment? Who opened the door? I thought I saw someone and then...
Who do you think opened it, young man?
Well, I thought one of your servants might have opened it for me.
And... I have servants, you might say, but not in the way you think.
Are you trying to tell me you have ghosts for servants, Miss Riley?
Ghosts? Well, now that would be something. The dead waiting on the dying.
Miss Riley, I am truly sorry. I heard the news.
6 to 8 weeks, they say. But I feel completely fine. It spread all over my body, you know. From the marrow all the way to the...
Miss Riley, are you... Shall I...
I'm all right. I'm all right. The cough is from something else. A chest cold. Bad bone marrow can't give you a chest cold. That's ridiculous.
Miss Riley, I don't want to disturb or take up too much of your time. Since your previous attorney, Mr. Gorsham, has passed away, the firm has assigned me the task of overseeing your will.
Wonderful.
There's one thing we're missing, Miss Riley. You have not appointed anyone as executor.
Really? I haven't?
No.
Oh, well, that's easy. I already know who I want to be my executor. Come right this way. And there he is.
Miss Riley, forgive me for asking, but are you being facetious?
I am not. Why would you say such a thing?
Miss Riley, well, how do I say this? You are about to leave behind a truly vast fortune. A very considerable fortune, considering of not just cash, but multiple assets, property, investments.
He is my executor. And that is the end of the discussion. Do I make myself understood?
Oh! Oh! What's happening?
It's 6 o'clock. A new hour.
Something's moving!
Look around you, Mr. Fortis.
More.
They are all moving. Every hour on the hour.
My God!
Yes, every hour on the hour. In this room, in every room.
My God!
Mr. Fortis, you can uncover your eyes now. Come with me and I will go into more detail with you. I am so glad that you came to see me, Edgar.
Irene, you told me you were ill. You do not look ill, my dear.
I don't feel ill at all. But the doctors insist, well, that my time is limited.
We are the last two left, you know, of the great collectors.
Really? Well, that can't be. Lexi von Strauss.
He passed away last summer.
Or Dugan? Count Wurzenschel?
No, it's just you and me, Irene. But you and I both know that your collection eclipses them all, including mine. That's why I'm here. I hope you don't find it in bad taste.
No, I don't feel that way.
It's just that when you are no longer, with us, I hope that the collection is in good hands. The right hands.
My dear Edgar, that is my primary concern over all other things right now. I never married, I have no children. Except for my collection, that is.
Irene, as a friend that you can trust, as someone who knows and understands the art of automata better than anyone else you know, I should be the one who looks after your children, once you've gone, of course.
So you want to adopt them? How long are you for this world, old friend? We are almost the same age, you know.
I plan to be here for quite a while.
Look at all of them moving like they do. Oh, my painter, my tightrope walker, the flautist.
Exquisite marvels most of the world has never seen.
They are too special to share, too rare, too delicate, too personal. Have you ever seen one that can serve tea like this?
No. Where did you find her?
I'll have to tell you someday.
She is remarkable. I must have her.
Pour him a cup as well, my dear.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No need to be sorry. She can also sweep that up for you as well. Thank you for coming to see me, Mr. Olmsted and Mr. Reiner.
We were anxious to meet with you, Miss Riley.
Don't do much decorating for the holidays, Miss Riley?
Well, you will find that I do have a Christmas-themed room upstairs that I keep year-round. I normally put up a tree in the living room, but I wasn't quite feeling up to it this year. Perhaps a bit lazy on my part. I do love the holidays, but you know, with a collection like mine, every day is kind of like Christmas, isn't it?
Well, I must tell you, this is perhaps the greatest collection of vintage automata of its kind, at least in America. Some of these pieces are so unique, I've never seen or read anything about them anywhere.
But as wonderful as these pieces are, they're really not much more than fascinating little toys, curios. Marvelously crafted, without a doubt, but we at the museum would be much more interested in the other pieces of art in your family's collection. The Rodin sculptures, the Singer Sargent portraits. I heard you even have a series of rare Goya etchings that your father acquired.
Yes, you are welcome to those things, I suppose.
Well, I can't tell you how exciting that is to hear.
But, Mr. Olmsted, who's going to care for my collection? I need my dolls and figures to have a proper home once I'm gone.
We are a fine art institution, Miss Riley. This collection of yours will be better suited for, say, a World's Fair exhibition or an amusement park of some kind.
Amusement park? Mr. Olmsted?
I don't think Mr. Olmsted meant to insult you, Miss Riley. Perhaps there's another private collector who would give them a loving home.
We serious collectors of automata are a very rare breed. Edgar Roon is the only one I know of who is still alive. He is very interested in acquiring my collection. But there's something about him I've never liked. Maybe it's because I know that he likes to meddle with the occult, Order of the Golden Dawn type stuff that I find ugly and distasteful.
I personally think your collection is wonderful. How did you come to acquire all these figures?
I've been collecting them all my life. But it all started when, at the age of 4, my papa gave me a clockwork bird that could sing and flap its tiny wings. I still have it. In fact, it's right behind you, Mr. Reiner.
It is? I don't see it.
It's there, on the middle shelf. Just press the brass button on the front of the wooden box there.
This one?
Yes.
I'll be, the lid is opening on its own.
Oh, that's a French piece, obviously. A bon ton, if I'm not mistaken.
It's Chinese.
Really?
Oh, look! The bird!
It's flying around the room.
How on earth can it do that?
There's a couple of people I'd like you to meet, Miss Riley. Are you okay to have a couple of visitors?
Who are they?
It was thought that you were the last surviving member of the Riley clan. Well, guess again.
I am the only one left, Mr. Fortis. I am quite sure.
Your brother Frederick sired 2 other children out of wedlock, it seems. His son William, from his marriage, was killed in the war, as you know. But it has now come to light that he had twins with one of his housemates. Twin daughters. And they are very much alive.
You must be kidding. Frederick, he was such a milquetoast. I don't believe it.
Come in, ladies. Miss Riley, at long last, meet your nieces Betty and Judy.
So nice to finally meet you, Aunt Irene.
I'm sorry, but I'm not your aunt. Please don't call me that.
Look, though, can't you see the family resemblance?
Yes. You both have Frederick's overbite and lazy eye. My God, we are related.
I hear you're not feeling so well, Auntie Irene.
We just wanted to finally meet you face to face while there's still a little time left.
Because there's nothing more important in life than family.
I had really hoped that our family had run its course. I thought the world should have had enough of us.
Can we get you anything, Aunt Irene?
See? That's our mother's side coming out. We can't help being servants either.
Mr. Fortis, I thank you for introducing me to these charming women, but I'd like to rest now. Please close the door behind you. Maxim, you are my trusted advisor, the executor of my last will and testament, my wisest companion of all my many friends here in my home. What shall I do? I am in quite a quandary here. Edgar Roon wants to take all of you away to his mansion for who knows what sinister purposes. The museum only wants Papa's fine art collection. They aren't willing to give you all a new home. And now I learn that our family's cursed bloodline continues to spread. Spread like the cancer in my body right now. Please advise me. Tell me, Maxim, what should I do? I have so little time left. I feel the very life fading from my body every hour. If only I could bear you all with me like pharaohs of Egypt old. Tell me, what should I do? Thank you, dear Maxim. Thank you. I will sit here while you continue to write your reply. Take your time.
Oh,
Oh, no, thank you, dear. I'm not thirsty for tea right now. Oh, okay, you talked me into it. Thank you. It looks like Maxim has finished his note for me. Ah, my little feathered friend. Would you mind bringing me that note? I would get it myself, but I'm feeling too weak to stand right now. Thank you, my friend. Just bring it to me. Thank you. Thank you, all my friends. It's midnight. Another new year has arrived. It's very comforting to be surrounded by you, all of my friends. Let's welcome it in together. Though I don't feel I'll be long for it now. Yes, I just need to rest for a while. I hope we will all be together again somehow. It is my last untarnished hope.
Please, God, let this pay off.
Will you sit still, Judy?
I'm too nervous.
Who checks out on New Year's Eve? Who does that?
Aunt Irene did, all right.
Remember, don't call her Aunt Irene. God forbid if us commoners...
Shh, someone will hear you.
I can't believe we have to come here like this. This room, this whole place is hideous. Gruesome. All these weird mechanical dolls staring at us. Makes my insides turn.
All you have to do is grin and bear it for an hour or so, sis. Pretty small price to pay to find out whether or not we're going to be rich, wouldn't you say? Oh, please, Lady Luck, I'm talking to you, sweetheart.
She ain't gonna give a squat, and you know it. She had nothing but contempt in her eyes for us. You were there.
Hey, you won't know until they read the will.
You two are relatives of the deceased.
Yeah? Who are you?
I'm Simon Olmsted. I'm with the Metropolitan Museum. I'm hoping that we're going to receive some very desirable pieces from your family's art collection.
Why? What's it all worth?
We may be inheriting it all. We're her only living relatives, it turns out.
Oh, well, that's exciting. Here's my card.
So you want all these creepy dolls for your museum?
Oh, heavens, no! These tacky things.
I'm quite happy to take those decrepit automata out of your hands, Mr. Olmsted. They've seen better days.
And who's this guy?
I was a close friend of the deceased, a fellow collector of rare automata.
What's that?
Excuse me all. If I may have your attention, I am Glenn Fortis, attorney for Miss Riley. I know this is extremely unorthodox, but as prescribed by law, the executor of the last will and testament of Miss Irene Bell Riley is none other than her famous automaton, Maxim.
What?
That is quite brilliant.
Is that?
Bravo, Irene!
That figure of a disembodied hand at the writing desk is the executor of Miss Riley's will? This has to be some kind of jest. Do we really have to sit here and entertain this?
Well, I'm afraid we do. No one knows the content of the will except for Maxim. It says here that once everyone is present at 4:58 p.m., I am to wind up this key on the side of the desk. In just a few seconds, it will be exactly...
God.
It moves like a real hand.
Maxim will write out the terms of the will. And when he's finished, a bell is supposed to sound.
This is a nightmare. A surreal nightmare.
Oh, be quiet.
He's finished.
What does it say?
Here's the paper. It says, "For better or ill, these are the terms of my will. When the clock strikes five, none of you in this room shall survive."
What time is it?
Oh. of your love's like the warmth of the sun. This will be our year, took a long time to come. Don't let go of my hand, darkness has gone. This will be our year, took a long time to come. And I won't forget the way you held me up when I was down. And I won't forget the way you said, darling, I love you. You give me faith to go on. Now we're there and it's only just begun. This will be our year, took a long time to come. The warmth of your love's like the warmth of the sun. And this will be our year, took a long time to come. Don't let go of my hand, darkness has gone. This will be our year, took a long time to come. And I won't forget the way you held me up when I was down. And I won't forget the way you said, darling, I love you. You give me faith to go on. Now we're there and it's only just begun. And this will be our year, took a long time to come. This will be our year, took a long time to come.
And that concludes our program. Glenn Fortis was played by Michael Pate. Edgar Roon was played by Eric Davey Gislason. Simon Olmsted was played by James Reeser. Mary Murphy played the part of Betty. And Annabelle Rollison played the part of Judy. I played the part of Irene Bell Riley. The Executor of the Will was written by Sylvan Sandovar and directed by Annabelle Rollison. The musical performance, This Will Be Our Year, written by Chris White, was arranged and performed by Nicole Zoraitis. Our show is produced by Gustavo Rodriguez, Daniel and Rebecca Graves, and myself for Fireside Mystery Productions. Our theme music is by Jason Graves. Our musical score was improvised by John Gary. Our sound designer is Greg Russ. Our production coordinator is Dahlia Morali. Our production assistant is Brontis Shane Arengo. And our technical director at the Bickford Theater was Louis Perlmutter. An extra special thanks to Eric Hafen, Michelle Marinelli, Jerry Ryder, and all the amazing staff at the Morris Museum and the Bickford Theater. Be sure to pay the museum a visit, especially to see the Murto D. Guinness Collection, the largest and finest collection of automata in the United States. Visit morrismuseum.org for more info. And if you're in the New York City area, make plans to join us at the Slipper Room for our next live taping. Snowbound in Sunken Harbor will be a trip to our favorite creepy little seaside town on Sunday, January 29th at 7 p.m. Tickets on sale at slipperroom.com. We hope that you've enjoyed this season's edition of Holiday Haunts. If you did, take a moment to give us a rating and review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. This is your own Ali Silva. We wish you all the best in this new year. May it be filled with laughter, good health, happiness, hope, and honored resolutions to mind the shadows.